Time to get started. My name is Mike Niehaus. I'm Senior Product Marketing Manager for Microsoft, and in this session we want to talk about Windows Store apps, enterprise line of business app deployment scenarios. For this session we want to focus on kind of the IT pro side of Windows 8 and Windows 8.1 applications. So we're not going to be talking about developer topics so much, although there'll be a few items that come up here and there that do pertain to developers. We really want to focus on, as an IT pro, as someone who's managing the infrastructure inside of your organization, what do you need to do to deploy apps to Windows 8? So first, it's good to just understand really what are these new applications. For a long time, for every version of Windows that's been out to this point, we've had traditional desktop applications. Those have installed using things like setup.exes or Windows installer MSI files, OneClick with .NET, AppV, click to run. All of those things are installers for desktop applications. IT pros are used to those. Those are what you've been dealing with for many years. And when you're deploying them inside of an enterprise, when you're deploying apps using those, you're typically just running one of those and trying to run it silently. So how do you run an install of a particular application silently so that it can be used on a Windows computer that's already been deployed? Generally, these traditional desktop apps require admin rights to install. There are exceptions to that. And usually they install per machine, not per user, because they put files into C program files and into the Windows folder and all over the place. So they generally require admin rights to pull that off. That's the traditional desktop applications. None of that really changes in Windows 8 or Windows 8.1. It's still there. Everything that you have continues to work just fine on Windows 8 and 8.1. These Windows Store apps are something completely new. So we've created a new set of APIs, a new platform, essentially, to build a full-screen, immersive, touch-based application. These applications are packaged in a completely new format. So when you see these, you'll see them packaged as .appx files. These .appx files are effectively zip files containing the application, all the files needed for the application, executables, DLLs, resource files, everything that that app needs is contained inside of the AppX. There's no external dependencies. Everything is self-contained. The installation process is very simple. It's basically extract the contents of that package, of that AppX file, which is a zip file, extract it into the file system, and then register that app with the operating system. So there's no custom actions, there's no custom code being executed when any of these apps install. So they all install very quickly and very easily. They will always install quietly. There is no user interface that ever gets presented beyond what you would see through the Windows Store to install these applications. They're designed to install quietly. They do install per user. So these Windows Store apps are designed to be installed per user, which means that if you have multiple users on a machine, the app gets installed multiple times. Windows is smart about that, so even though the app gets installed multiple times, it does only maintain a single instance of the install files for each version of the app that's installed. Now, if you have three different users running three different versions of the app, then yes, you're going to see three different copies of the install files on the system. But as soon as the oldest version is no longer in use, if all the users have upgraded to the newest version, Windows is keeping a reference count and will automatically delete the oldest version of the files to free up the disk space that they were using. So it's good at kind of the housekeeping side of it, making sure that the application files are only kept around as long as needed, but the apps are installed per user. So if you install an app for one user, go to a second user, it won't be there until that second user goes through and does that install themselves. That was a brand new process that was put in place for Windows 8. that process hasn't changed for Windows 8.1. It's basically still the same in 8.1. There are some minor changes in Windows 8.1, primarily around start screen layouts and the behaviors of the start screen when applications install. But overall, the process is the same in 8.1 as it was in 8. So then we get into the topic of enterprise app stores. And basically what an enterprise app store is a mechanism to get applications to users inside of your environment. So if you don't put applications inside of your image, how do you get the apps to the user? Maybe that's something you do today with Group Policy or with Configuration Manager or Windows Intune or any other third-party management solutions. So you kind of already have a component of an enterprise app store. That component is the delivery vehicle. How does that application get pushed out? The main difference here is for an enterprise app store, you generally want this to be user-driven and self-service. So a user can go out to a web page or a company portal or run an app and from there choose from the various applications that are available to them. Those could be desktop applications. Those could be new Windows Store apps, Windows 8 apps, Metro apps, or whatever term you want to use for them. Basically, you need a mechanism for them to be able to see what apps are available, to make requests for those applications, get approvals if any approvals are necessary, do the installation, and really keep track of the fact that these apps have been installed on the different machines. Those are the processes that we can implement with Configuration Manager with Windows Intune so that we can completely automate that. Now, that doesn't mean you can't do an enterprise app store using other means. You can build your own app store. We do have a couple of sample apps that are available to show how to do that. Or you can just run PowerShell commands. So you can script this to deploy applications through any means that you want. A lot of this really applies to BYOD scenarios. So we will get into scenarios in the future where you would use an enterprise app store to deploy apps to computers that aren't owned by your business. But for the more traditional approach today, where you have computers that are company owned, this is still applicable because you want mechanisms for users to be able to get applications easily. So let's make sure that we understand the terminologies that we use when we're talking about Windows Store apps and the basic mechanisms that we're talking about here. So Windows Store apps are those modern full-screen apps. They're written to an API called WinRT, Windows Runtime. That's different than the operating system, which is called Windows RT. WinRT is the API. Windows RT is the operating system. Don't blame me, I didn't come up with those names. So Windows runs WinRT apps. Those apps can run on Windows 8 or Windows RT, the operating systems. You'll also hear these referred to as WinRT apps because they're written to the WinRT APIs. You'll hear them called modern apps. You'll hear them called Metro apps. You'll hear them called Windows 8 apps. They're all referring to the same thing. These are the packaged AppX files that can be installed and deployed as to Windows 8 and Windows 8.1. Now, when we're talking about installing applications from the Windows Store, in order to do that, we need to log into the Windows Store, the online store, using a Microsoft account. So when you see references to Microsoft accounts, we're not talking about accounts for Microsoft's internal network or anything like that. These are the same thing that you've known for years as a Live ID. We like changing the names of things, so Live IDs are now called Microsoft accounts. In order to install an app from the Windows Store, you have to log in with a Microsoft account. If you're going to load applications yourself through a process called sideloading that we'll talk about in a little bit, you don't need Microsoft accounts to do that. You only need the Microsoft account to install from the Windows Store. You get a license for any application you request from the store that's tied to that Microsoft account. So in order to install, you do need to have that account. The Windows Store itself is an online store for acquiring Windows apps. They can be free, they can have costs associated with them. The charges and the licenses and everything is associated with that Microsoft account that was used to acquire the app. You can get to the Windows Store from Windows 8, Windows 8.1, Windows RT. That can be disabled. There is a group policy to turn that off if you don't want your users to be able to do that. If you turn it off, then you would also lose the ability to install updates for the Inbox apps. That's something that we'll talk more about later as well. And it becomes a little more essential in that case for you to have an enterprise app store so that you have a mechanism to get apps to them. Without the Windows Store present, then you'd need to do something else. We've talked about AppX files a little bit already. These are the self-contained packages. You can rename the .appX file to .zip and open it up in Explorer or using WinZip or something like that and look at what's inside of it in case you care. Basically, inside of there, you'll see all the executables, but you'll also see an XML file. That XML file is just a manifest that describes the application. Who published it? What's the name of it? What's the version? What requirements does it have? What particular security capabilities does it require? Is it going to access the internal company network? Is it going to access the internet? Is it going to request your location? All of those capabilities need to be declared in that XML file. And when the app goes to use those particular capabilities, it may prompt the user to ask permission. Can I access your location? Can I access your internal company location or your internal company network? So that's built into the security model that's used in WinRT. There's a very extensive set of security capabilities built into that to make sure these apps are not able to talk to each other and are only able to access resources that you explicitly allow. The process of sideloading then is any mechanism used to install a Windows Store app through something other than the Windows Store. So how do you get an app onto a machine using something other than the Windows Store? That process is called sideloading. There are some specific requirements to enable this. We'll talk about those more as we get into this. When we talk about line of business apps, we're really just talking about applications that you've written yourself inside of your enterprise and now need to deploy to your own computers, or in the case of BYOD scenarios, to your employees' computers. These could be just about anything. So when we're talking about line of business apps, we could also be talking about third-party applications that you've acquired and you now want to deploy to computers in your organization. Now we need to get into a little more detail and talk about the installation process and a separate process called provisioning. So first of all, on installation, we already talked about these being per user. This always happens per user. The process of installing that's handled by Windows automatically is extract the contents of the AppX file into the file system, register the application to the operating system to make it available to that user. There aren't any admin rights required, so any standard user can go out to the Windows Store and install an app. Any standard user can sideload an application on a machine that's been enabled for sideloading. These installations can happen from the Windows Store or they can happen via sideloading. We'll look at how to do that via sideloading in a little bit. Provisioning then is a different process. Provisioning is a mechanism of making an app available on the system so that it automatically installs for every user when they next log into the system. So if you wanted to build your reference image that you use for your Windows 8 or Windows 8.1 deployment and include a set of applications that every user should have when they first log in, maybe a company portal or some type of application like that, you can provision that application in the image. That provisioning process is similar to installation, but not quite the same. It does still extract the contents of the AppX file, But instead of registering it to run for a user, it registers it as a provisioned app. Windows then knows the next time any user logs in, that provisioned app should automatically install. Because this is a system-level operation, not a user-level operation, that does require admin rights, and because you're inherently doing this as a sideloading process, it does require that the system be enabled for sideloading. As we go through this, we'll see a little bit more on how that actually happens. So the ideal scenario would be installation, provisioning, whatever you're doing, that would be handled by the tools that you're using to manage your environment. For an enterprise app store, that can be Configuration Manager 2012 SP1 in the case of Windows 8, or Configuration Manager 2012 R2 for Windows 8.1. That could be Windows Intune. If we're talking about provisioning applications in an image, that's something that can be done using the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit 2012 Update 1 for Windows 8 or MDT 2013 for Windows 8.1. So you can include those in a sysprepped image. You can then do any start screen layout customizations that you want. There are processes that you can go through to do that. Where it gets a little tricky when we talk about imaging, you can include provisioned apps, your own provisioned apps in an image and then sysprep it. You can't install an application and sysprep the OS. The license for that application would be tied to the user at install time. So anytime there is an app installed that isn't provisioned, sysprep will actually fail. It'll log a message saying that there are installed applications that aren't provisioned. That's not going to have the desired result. So as a result, sysprep fails and you'd have to recapture your image. So the process then of provisioning or installing, you can do it using PowerShell. You can also do it using DISM, which is a command line executable that achieves the same functions. There are some specific requirements for side loading. The requirements basically are be running Windows 8 Enterprise, join to Active Directory. If you join Windows 8 Enterprise into Active Directory, it's automatically eligible for side loading. If you have Windows 8 Enterprise in a workgroup, Windows 8 Pro, or Windows RT, you have to install a separate sideload product key. That separate sideload product key is provided for free as long as you have software assurance for Windows. If you don't have software assurance for Windows, you would have to buy that. Those sideload product keys are sold in 100 packs. I think the standard price is somewhere around $30 a piece. You can use that kind of like a Mac key. You install the key once on a computer, activate it over the internet to Microsoft. That decrements the key count by one. So it works pretty much like a Mac key, except it's just used to enable this sideloading functionality. Don't have to worry about that for Windows 8 Enterprise domain joined, but you do have to worry about that for Windows 8 Enterprise in a workgroup, Windows 8 Pro, or Windows RT. So let's look at doing that. First, the hard way. If we wanted to do this manually using PowerShell, what would this look like? And the hard way isn't necessarily that hard. It's just something that you really want a tool to do for you. So what we would normally do on Windows 8.1 in this case, we can start up a admin PowerShell session. And from there, actually let me start up the GUI so we can zoom in a little bit. From there we can do things like query the system to see what Windows Store apps are installed. We can see the apps that are installed for the current user. We can see the apps that are provisioned for the computer. So we want to get to a point where we can look at that and then start making modifications to that. So let me zoom in a little bit. So if I do get appx package, I can get a list of all the applications that are currently installed for the logged on user. Let me just simplify that a little bit to just say, give me the name of all of the pre-installed applications. So we can see that there are, if you've ever looked at this on Windows 8, there are a few new ones in the list for Windows 8.1. You'll see some things showing up now for the new VPN clients that are built into Windows 8.1. But this is the list of standard inbox applications. If we wanted to, let's say that we decide that some of those applications aren't appropriate for our enterprise image and we want to remove them, we can do that. We can actually remove them for the current user by saying get appx package and then remove appx package and actually remove all of the inbox applications. It'll generate some errors because there are some that aren't allowed to be removed. There are also some that are dependencies of other applications, so they have to be removed in the right order. But the net result is now after we've done that, we're left with a much shorter list. So all the other inbox applications have been removed. Not surprisingly then, the start screen starts to look a little bit bare because those apps were removed. Now, those applications were removed, but if I were to log on to this system as another account, they would all show up again because they're still provisioned in the operating system. When the new user logs on, Windows would see that there are provisioned apps that aren't installed and it will install them. So in order to get rid of them from an image, we would want to remove them from the list of provisioned apps. So first we can get a list of appx provisioned packages. And we have to specify online for that. So we can get the list there and do the same type of thing. Let's just look at the display name. We can see the list of provisioned applications in the operating system. And we can remove all of those provisioned applications. Again, saying for the online running OS. Same basic process. Easy enough to just go through and remove all of those. There are a few that can't be removed, so there could be some errors here, but I think generally the ones that can't be removed are filtered out of the list anyway, so you don't even see them in the list. So at that point, once we've removed them, we could run sysprep. We could capture our custom image, and when that image is deployed, those apps just won't be there. They're no longer part of the operating system. They could be reinstalled if a user went out to the Windows Store and found, say, the Mail app. They could reinstall it, but it won't automatically install now when the user logs in. If we do get appx provision package now, again, we have to say online. We get back an empty list at this point. So now they've all been uninstalled from the current user. They've also all been deprovisioned from the computer, so they just aren't on the system anymore. Now, if we wanted to add one, that's something we can do as well. To add one, we can do add appx provision package online package path, and then specify the UNC, in this case, of the package I want to add. Add dynamic CRM. And now we start to see where some of these other sideloading requirements come in. So first, it says a license path wasn't specified. Well, that's true because we're not acquiring this from the store, so we can say skip license. And at this point, the application should be added. Now, if I were to do this without taking a couple of steps beforehand, this may not work. there are a couple of dependencies here. One is a registry entry. So if I bring up regedit, HKey local machine software, Microsoft. Gosh, I'm drawing a blank at the moment where that one is actually stored. Hopefully it's under Windows. Nope, I'm going to have to look for it. So Notepad. I've just gotten used to importing a registry file, so I don't even remember where that key is at. So Software Policies, Microsoft Windows AppX. Software Policies. Policies, Microsoft, Windows, AppX. There's the policy to say allow all trusted apps. That policy needs to be set to 1 in order for any of these sideloading operations to happen. That's easy enough. That can be done via group policy, or it can be manually set just by importing a registry file like that. The second requirement is tied into certificates. And it's not so much that Windows really cares what certificate these apps were signed with. All Windows really cares is that the certificate is trusted by the current computer. So if I've built an application inside of my own environment, and I have my own PKI inside of my internal corporate network, I would want my developers to sign the applications using a code signing certificate generated by my own PKI. If I brought in a third-party app, and that third-party app was signed by the third party's PKI, and that's not an externally trusted certificate from, say, VeriSign or someone like that, then you may need to import a new trusted root certificate so that Windows is able to trust the cert that was used to sign that app. So maybe there are scenarios where you need to import additional trusted root certificates in order for those apps to be imported. In this case, the app that I added was already trusted because the certificate that was used to sign it was already present in my trusted root certificate store. So no problems there. So I now have that application provisioned, but it doesn't actually install. So we don't see it on the start screen at this point. It's not there yet. I would have to log out and log back in again for that application to show up. Or I can just install it. So I can say add AppX package. The parameter, path, specify the path to the app. Okay, now at this point it says, nope, the certificate chain was processed, but it didn't actually trust the certificate. Okay, so let's do simple registration of the certificate. I hope I got that command line right. There's actually the certificate. Yep. What are the command line options? I need to specify add and add and then store. Oh, heck, let's just do it the easy way. And do it the same way just by saying start and running through the wizard.
So there's the certificate. I can say that I want to install it for the local machine into Trusted Root Certification Authorities. And now it's been imported. There are command lines to do that, but I don't quite have those memorized. Now let's try it again. Let's try to install that apex package. And now it should succeed. Okay, so the application's installed. And it's still not on the start screen. So where did it go? On Windows 8, if I were running Windows 8, it would have shown up on the start screen. On Windows 8.1, there's a change in behavior of the start screen. So the start newly installed applications don't get pinned automatically. Instead, they just show up on the All Apps screen. And the user would have to pin them themselves. So there's my new application, the Salesforce application that I have successfully installed on the machine. But in order for that application, to be pinned, the user would have to explicitly go to the All Apps screen, right click, and say pin to start. And now the app will be added there. Now, one of the other changes in Windows 8.1 is you can specify a group policy that says when the Sales Workplace app is installed, it should automatically be pinned to the start screen in a group with this name, and Windows would take care of doing that for you. So that's a new group policy option in Windows 8.1 that wasn't present in 8.0. There were some concerns on Windows 8 where apps would install and not necessarily pin consistently on the start screen, especially when you were talking about desktop applications. The change in Windows 8.1 basically now pins nothing by default. So when new apps install, they would always show up on All Apps, and the user then has to explicitly pin, or you specify the group policy to do it for you. So we've got that application installed for the current user. We've also provisioned it for the machine. So now if we did get apex provision package online, we can see that that application is there. If we do get apex package, we can see that it's installed here as well, along with a few others that couldn't be removed because they're required built-in packages. So those are kind of the basics of it. Now, when it comes to the kind of the tie-in to that is I need to configure the start screen. In Windows 8, what you would typically do is you would arrange the icons the way you want here. So maybe I want Sales Workplace app to be down here, and I want it to be a medium size icon. Maybe I want the camera to be a medium size icon. Maybe I want the store to be a large icon. So you can choose the exact configuration that you want. Maybe I like the layout there. Maybe I want to specify a group name. So I can do whatever customizations I want to the start screen. And in Windows 8, what you would then need to do is sysprep this. When you run sysprep, it would take that start screen layout and write it into a file, apps-folder-layout.bin. That file could then be put into the default user profile. And when a new user would log in, the new profile would get created with that file contained in it. Explorer would see that file present, and it would pre-configure the start screen like that. In 8.1, we've made that simpler. So now we can actually just export it. So we have two new commandlets present in Windows 8.1. to export the start screen layout and to import the start screen layout. So in this case, I could do export start layout as a bin file to a particular path. So say c:\apps folder layout.bin, and that takes the layout and writes it into a binary file that we could then put into our image. So we don't need to run sysprep anymore. That's a good thing. The other thing that we can do is export that as XML and that XML file can be used as part of that group policy that we talked about before. The group policy has this as an input to control what icons get put where when those applications are installed. So the layout, the policy that you would run has an option to specify a path to the XML file that you want it to use. Let's see if I can actually find that XML file. There it is, start screen layout. So we would have to specify to enable that and then specify a UNC path to the start screen layout file. So fairly easy to do that. Using PowerShell to export the layout and then a policy to configure it. So assuming that I've done all the operations that I wanted to build an image, maybe I provisioned new applications, maybe I deprovisioned applications. At this point, I could go ahead and run sysprep. Any provisioned apps would be preserved. If there happened to be any leftover installed apps that aren't provisioned, sysprep would fail. But these are the basic processes that would be used. It's the equivalent of add appx package, remove appx package, add appx provision package, remove appx provision package. Behind the scenes, these are the commandlets that Configuration Manager, Intune, and MDT, and any other third-party tool would use to do these operations. So that's the hard way. The hard way is not that hard, but really you want that to be even simpler. So what did we go through? Well, we made sure that the prerequisites were met. I had a Windows 8 Enterprise machine, actually 8.1 Enterprise machine, joined into Active Directory. I imported the trusted root certificates that were needed for the applications, and I set that allow all trusted apps policy in the registry. Once those prerequisites are met, then I can do the work using PowerShell or DISM to install or provision additional applications. So let's say that we wanted to use some of our existing infrastructure to do this. So let's shift gears and talk about doing that with Configuration Manager. So in this case, I have Configuration Manager 2012 R2 installed, the preview that came out yesterday, which I installed this morning. In that, there is the ability to set up side-loaded applications so that Configuration Manager can deploy those. I've got one here already. I've set up that same Dynamics application for Configuration Manager to deploy. I can say I want to create a new one. And to create this new one, I need to specify that it is a Windows app package. Once I know that, it will look for an appx file. So I can specify Contoso, management, source, demo. In this case, I'll add the rounds app and specify the appx file. Configuration Manager knows what an appx file is. It knows how to read that XML manifest file stored inside of the appx, so it can extract all the rest of the details that it needs from that appx file. So it doesn't even ask any other questions. It just says, okay, here are all the details for your application. Maybe you want to change something here. You can if you wanted it to show up with something other than the default publisher. But other than that, You've created the application. Now all you had to do is deploy the application. To deploy the application, there are basically two operations that need to be done. One is distribute the files, which is fairly simple. Configuration Manager just needs to put them on distribution points. And then the second one is to deploy the app. When you deploy the app, you have to choose where do you want to deploy it to. Apps, in this case, install per user. So we're not going to deploy the app to a computer. We're going to deploy the app to a user. So when we right-click here and say deploy, we'll choose a collection of users that we want to deploy to. Just for simplicity, I'll say all users, and then specify that I want to distribute the content to my distribution point, and then make it available for the user to install. So at this point, it's enabled for the application catalog for that enterprise application catalog, the app portal, for the users to go out and select that application and install it. You could specify that administrator approval is required, but that's not absolutely necessary. And we can take the defaults for everything else. So now that new application has been created. If we then switch over to a client computer, we can go back to that same machine that we were on before. And the easiest way to get to the catalog is to find the Software Center, which is right here. Click on the link to launch the application catalog, which is the enterprise app portal. And from there, I should be able to see the new application that we just created, select it, and install it on this machine. So this was the existing experience for Configuration Manager 2012 SP1 and Windows 8. With Configuration Manager 2012 R2 and Windows 8.1, they're creating a modern app so that you can use this with a touch-friendly interface. I don't have that set up yet, but that should be available shortly to give you the same basic experience that we'll see in a few minutes with Windows Intune. In fact, it's the exact same app. So Windows Intune and Configuration Manager will use the same company portal application for users to select apps. In this case, though, I'll just use the web page so I can see the new Rounds app that I added. I can select that, click Install, and it will install while we wait. Now, once I say yes, I'm really sure I want to do this. So it will connect to Configuration Manager, it will submit the request, get the policy for the new application, download the files, sideload install them using the processes that we looked at with PowerShell before, and with any luck, the app will then be available on the start screen for us to run. Now again, this is Windows 8.1, so it won't be pinned by default. We'll have to find it on all apps, but it should take a few seconds here for that to install. So we get the notification saying downloading and installing. If we click to view the progress, it will take us back to the Software Center where we can see the application is currently installing. As long as all the prerequisites were handled, that sideloading was enabled, that the right certificates are in place, the application should install successfully, and then we should be able to run it. Okay, installation is complete, no errors. We bring up the start screen. Okay, we don't see it there, not surprising. Hopefully we come over to the new apps pane. And I can actually see it here, but one of the other changes in 8.1 is we can actually change this to by date installed, and the new app actually shows up at the top then. And I can launch it. So we've set up the app, we deployed the app, we went to the client, we requested it, it installed. It was basically a 5-minute process to go through all of that. Fairly easy to do. So that's Configuration Manager. What you would basically do beyond that point is you just keep adding more and more apps. And in this case, I only had two apps, so it didn't really matter what I did with categorizing them or trying to put in descriptions or anything like that. But as you expand out on this, you could end up with hundreds of these. So at that point, you may want to put them into different categories, which will show up as different folders. You can put in descriptions so that you can search for the applications and find them. So you just get to put more metadata into the catalog to make it easier for the users to find what they want. So then for Configuration Manager, the main things that we need to remember are, again, Windows Store apps install per user. So Configuration Manager is really into this user-centric model of delivering software to Windows 8 and Windows 8.1 computers, especially when we're talking about modern apps. Everything that they've built to support these new modern apps is targeting users. That means that if you're doing operating system deployment using Config Manager task sequences, you can't install apps as part of a task sequence. Task sequences run as a local system account. They don't run as a user. So even if you could install an app as part of a task sequence, it wouldn't be executable by any user. It would only be executable by local system, and no one can ever log in as local system anyway. So no support for installing apps as part of a task sequence. Because they want to encourage you to use these user-centric models where you can use self-service capabilities, they don't provide any provisioning support in Configuration Manager either. So if you wanted to provision apps as part of a task sequence, again, remembering provisioning is registering the app on the computer so it automatically installs for each user when they log in, that's something you could do during a task sequence. But there's no native support in Config Manager to do that. That's not too bad because you can just write the PowerShell command yourself. You can run a PowerShell script as part of the task sequence that executes that add appx provision package commandlet and provisions the apps as part of a task sequence. A little extra work required to do that, but still not too bad. You can then use the App Catalog website to enable self-service. That will be replaced with Config Manager 2012 R2 with the company portal. We'll see that when we look at Intune in a minute. Now, it's also possible with Config Manager to have it initiate the installation of apps from the Windows Store. That process is something we call deep links. So we can basically capture a URL of a Windows Store application, put it in Config Manager, and tell Config Manager to either push that out to users or make it available to users to request through the application catalog. In those situations, when the user executes it via Config Manager, all it does is launch the Windows Store application, navigating to that specific application. So the user just needs to click the install button. So think of it like a shortcut to the application that you can have Configuration Manager make available to your user so it's easier for them to find the apps that you think are critical for your business. That does require that the Windows Store is enabled because the user is still going to be logging into the Windows Store with their Microsoft account and clicking the install button to install that app. This does require Config Manager 2012 SP1 for Windows 8. There's no support in previous versions of Config Manager for this. And for Windows 8.1, Config Manager 2012 R2 is going to be the version that supports Windows 8.1. Now, if we're only talking about deploying apps, Configuration Manager 2012 SP1 will support the management of Windows 8.1 systems. So you don't need to move to R2 just to manage 8.1, but if you're going to do operating system deployment, then you do need to move to 2012 R2. So now let's look at Windows Intune. And it probably shouldn't be too much of a surprise that this is fairly similar. In the case of Windows Intune, we just need to define the application, deploy the application, and then on a client machine, we can select that application. So the first thing I need to do is log into the Intune portal. And from the Intune portal, I do all of my administrative actions. Everything administrative in Intune is done through a web page. If I get my password right. give it a second here. So we'll have to go through the same steps. We'll need to add an application browsing to the AppX file. We'll put in the metadata for the application. In this case, Intune won't actually be able to pull those details out of the AppX file, but it's easy enough to type them in. And then we need to deploy it. So the first step is to go to the software node and add software. That will run a .NET application that's basically a wizard. That wizard will ask us for the details that we need. I need to sign in again. So I can click Next. It can deploy desktop applications as well, but in this case, we want to install a Windows app package, an AppX file. We can browse to that same application. Find the Rounds app, find the AppX file. And then put in whatever details we want for that application. We could put in whatever categories we want here. Maybe we want it to be registered as a business application. We could specify a custom icon for it. In this case, I'm just going to leave the defaults and click on Upload. That will bundle up all the files that are necessary into an encrypted CAB file, effectively, load it into Windows Azure storage, where Intune can then deploy it to clients. Hopefully this will go a little faster today than it did the other day. Generally, this only takes a few seconds to upload a package of that size. These Windows Store apps generally aren't that big, so we're talking about apps that are generally only a couple meg. So we've added the app. If we go to Manage Software, we can see the app that we just added. I've actually got an old one from a previous test, so let me delete that one. But then we've got the new one that we've added here. So we can right-click and say that we want to manage the deployment. And again, choose the users that we want to target this to. Their Windows Store apps. We're going to be using sideloading to install them. We're going to target users, not computers, to make those available. In the case of Configuration Manager, I had two choices. I could make it available, or I could make it required. So Configuration Manager could push the app. Windows Intune, at this point, only supports pull. So we can only make it available for users. They had to go and request it. Future version of Windows Intune should add the push capability as well, but at the moment, Intune is just a pull model. So we can specify all users as the target group that we want to make it available. And that's it. So we've defined the new application. We can then switch over to an Intune client computer. And let me just close the app and reopen the company portal here. Or I'll have to log in because I haven't configured single sign-on for my Intune subscription. But once I log in, I can see the applications that have been made available to me, as well as the devices that are registered to me. So the whole idea behind Intune is I may have multiple devices, and I can see all of them from one particular place. So I'll log into the company portal. And hopefully see the new application. So there's the Rounds app that we just added. I can see the app, the devices that I have set up here. When I click that Rounds app, I get the description that I typed in, the name that I typed in. When I click install, it will initiate the installation, downloading the bits from the Azure storage cloud, and then initiating the install using the same PowerShell commands that we looked at earlier, just doing the add appx package. So now it says that it's installing, and hopefully it will come back and say that it successfully installed it. You can see the message at the top saying that it failed to install Dynamics CRM. When I deployed that one earlier, I didn't have the right certificate on the machine. So it downloaded it, it tried to install it, but the installation failed. The PowerShell commandlet reported back that the certificate chain couldn't be verified, so the app failed. But in this case, the app should install successfully because the Rounds certificate should be already trusted on this device. That one takes a few seconds. We'll see if it can finish up here fairly quickly. Now, in this case, I'm running on Windows 8, not on Windows 8.1, since Windows Intune doesn't yet support Windows 8.1. And for Windows 8, the application will be pinned to the start screen automatically. So the install just completed. We can bring up the start screen. When we scroll over to the right, there we can see our new Rounds application, which we can launch and use right away. So that's the basic process with Windows Intune. Not too bad overall. So in the case of Windows Intune, same basic requirements. We need to have a computer that's enabled for sideloading. We need to have the policy set to allow all trusted apps. We need to have the certificates in place that enable the apps to be trusted by Windows. Then we had to set up Intune itself. Intune does require directory synchronization between your on-premises Active Directory and Windows Azure Active Directory. So you have to do directory synchronization. It's best to set that up with single sign-on so the user doesn't need to have two separate passwords and log in multiple times. So that's not too hard to do. But once you've done that, you can then manage through the cloud. So this is good for on-premises computers, company-owned devices, as well as BYOD devices, any device running Windows 8, 8.1, Windows RT can be enrolled through Windows Intune. Even third-party devices, iOS and Android devices, can be registered in Windows Intune. You then have the company portal. That company portal is the Windows Store app that we were running. It allows you to see all your devices. It allows you to see all your apps. It also has the ability to display company support information, which the version that I'm running doesn't do that yet. But it's fairly easy to set up, and most importantly for you, there's no infrastructure that you need to use for this. It's a subscription service. Everything runs in the cloud. We manage it for you. So the current Windows Intune release only supports Windows 8. We talked about that before. There is a new release coming for Windows 8.1 that should be available around the same time as the Windows 8.1 general availability later this year. So the next item then is, well, what if I wanted to provision an app? And that is something supported with the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit. So let's quickly walk through that scenario and see how you would do that with MDT. So in the case of MDT, I have a deployment share, and my deployment share allows me to specify applications. So I can choose to create a new application. In this case, I'll say an application with source files. Say Microsoft Rounds, just to use the same application that we were looking at before. I need to specify the folder that contains the installation files, which was on F, I believe. Select Rounds. And then for the command line, we need to specify the name of the appx file. So if we go to demo apps, I'm not going to try to type this one in. I'll just copy and paste the name. It's much easier. So by specifying the name of the appx file, MDT will look at that and see, oh, this is a command that has .appx as an extension. I need to build the DISM command line to provision this application. So rather than you needing to remember DISM.exe /online/provision-appx package/ all the other command line options that you would need to specify, we can take care of those details for you. So that's all I need to do to create the application. Once I've created that application, I can find my Windows 8 or 8.1 task sequence, and I can add that in as a custom task. To install that specific application. Or I could leave that off, leave it out of the task sequence, and just let the user or the desktop technician that's doing the operating system deployment check it off the list at deploy time to provision it into the computer. So that would provision it. That would make it install automatically for every user that then logs onto the machine. So MDT only does provisioning. Configuration Manager and Intune only do installation. MDT doesn't do installation because, well, once you've deployed the operating system or created your image, MDT isn't around anymore. So there's no mechanism in MDT to do an install of an application, just provisioning in the operating system that you're deploying. So really not much else to that from an MDT perspective. If we did a full OS deployment, we would see the app get provisioned. If we then deployed the resulting image, we would see that it installed when the user logged in. And we would be here for another 2 to 3 hours while that whole process runs through. So we won't go through that whole process, but that's basically what's required to set it up. So in the case of MDT, again, we're talking about provisioning. And provisioning is the per-machine operation, not the per-user operation. There are limits around provisioning, though. You can only provision up to 24 apps in the image. Why 24? No idea. Just it's the number that's in place. But the main restriction that was put in place for OEMs, because we didn't want OEMs to ship machines with way too many applications pre-provisioned, which causes that first login experience where you see the pulsing colors on the screen. We don't want that to take too long. So by limiting it to 24, we can keep that from happening. Since OEMs are limited to 24, that same limit applies to sideloading with enterprises as well. So that's why you can only do 24. There are processes described on TechNet and on the Deployment Guys blog on how to do the additional start screen configuration with MDT. That will be revised some with Windows 8.1 using those PowerShell commandlets that we looked at before, so we've made that simpler. And the main thing to keep in mind is don't try to get tricky. So what we've seen a lot of people try to do is there are apps in the Windows Store that they want in their image. So they will pause the task sequence as they're building their image. They'll launch the Windows Store. They'll log in with their Microsoft account. They'll select the applications that they want, and they'll install them. Then they'll resume the task sequence. It gets to sysprep. Sysprep fails, saying that there are installed apps that aren't provisioned on the computer. And they don't understand the reasoning behind that. It's really back to that whole installation versus provisioning thing. Installing an app for the local administrator account, which is what MDT would be running as, does no good whatsoever when you're creating an image. So just don't try that. You'll see sysprep fail fairly spectacularly. In order to do this, it does require MDT 2012 Update 1 for Windows 8, MDT 2013 for Windows 8.1. MDT 2013 should actually be released today in the preview version, along with the Windows 8.1 preview overall. We'll announce that in a few hours at the build conference. So we then have other ways of doing this.
Not surprisingly, you can do this on your own by running PowerShell commands. But there's also a company store application that's been written by one of our premier field engineers to just show how you would do a custom app yourself. So let's look at companystore.codeplex.com and see what that looks like. So all the code is provided for that. The application has been pre-built. It's actually out there in the Windows Store. It has the ability to just consume an XML file. That XML file describes the apps that should be made available to the user. That XML file specifies the same type of metadata that we put into Config Manager and Intune. It just needs to know, where's the AppX file? What description do I want to give it? What name? What version? All the other details. So you can put this onto your systems. The instructions tell you how to create and configure the XML file. You get a very similar experience. I can't open the image on my server, but you get a very similar experience to that company portal application that we had looked at before. It's not going to be anything real fancy from a configuration perspective. You are just going to create an XML file, which you can then push out via group policy, or you can X-copy it into the right location to give you the appropriate applications and the look and feel. But from there, you can click to install the applications, really just to provide that same company portal experience that you would get through Intune. So that's available if you don't have Intune or Config Manager and want to try that out. It's fairly easy to set up. It is kind of the build your own, configure your own type of a solution. Behind the scenes, it's using the APIs that are available in Windows to install applications. So if you are the developer type, you could certainly write an application yourself that does the same thing. And the code that they provided shows you exactly how to do that. So any software distribution tool can do these processes by just running the PowerShell or DISM commands. If they wanted to install them, they need to be able to run as the user. We've seen people try to do this with software distribution tools that can only run as a service. Well, you can never install an app for a user running as a service, so they do need to provide the ability to run as the user to do the installation. Now, if you just wanted to do provisioning, okay, you can provision running as a service, but you can't install. You need to do the installations as the user. So there are some dependencies there, but any software distribution system management tool should be able to do this. So at that point, generally, that tends to start raising more questions. So as we wrap up, I wanted to talk about the questions we tend to get and just give you a feel for what are you likely to encounter as you go through this process. First, we've already talked a little bit about customizing the start screen layout. I've provisioned more apps in the start in my image. I've taken some of the inbox apps out. I want to lay out the start screen in a particular way. Can I do that? Yes, most certainly. The process to go through does involve a little bit of manual configuration, or now with Windows 8.1, you can do some things with group policy, but it is possible. So there are links to do that. The next challenge becomes, well, let's say I've turned off the Windows Store because I don't want my users to go out to the Windows Store. There are some apps in the Windows Store that I would like to have in my Enterprise App Store, like maybe OneNote or Link or Skype or any of the other apps that are currently out in the Windows Store. In order to sideload the applications through your own Enterprise App Store, you need to have the AppX files. You need to be able to add those into Config Manager or Intune or whatever solution you're using. Okay, so you pick up the phone, you call Microsoft, you ask, well, where can I download the AppX files for these applications? Sorry, we don't provide those to customers. So that becomes a bit of a gotcha. For each of these applications, you would need to contact the ISV and ask them to provide the AppX files. Some may provide them to you. Others may say, no, just get the applications through the store. So that will be a bit of a challenge. That's something that we're working on to try to make this easier as we go forward. The next challenge that people tend to run into is, well, let's say I leave the Windows Store on. How can I keep users from installing some apps? I don't want them installing games. I don't want them installing anything but business productivity stuff. There just really is no mechanism for doing that at this point. It's an all or nothing thing. So once you've enabled the store, you can install any of the applications that are available through the store. It is possible on Windows 8 Enterprise to use App Locker to whitelist or blacklist apps, so you could use that as a mechanism to do some controlling, but App Locker is really only effective when you wanted to whitelist a small list of applications. So you could tell users, well, don't use the Windows Store, use the Enterprise app portal, and then provide the deep links from Configuration Manager or Intune for the apps that you have explicitly whitelisted. So you can do things like that. On Windows to Go with Windows 8, people have noticed that the Windows Store is turned off. That's actually done because of licensing restrictions. As that Windows to Go stick is moved from computer to computer, each computer that it touches would consume a license. Each user, when they install the app, can install that app on up to 5 machines. So after you put that Windows to Go stick in the 6th computer, the app wouldn't run anymore until you deauthorize one of the first 5. Rather than really trying to explain that to people, we just turned off the Windows Store via a policy with Windows to Go and Windows 8. We've fixed that problem in Windows 8.1, so the Windows Store will be turned back on again in Windows 8.1, and that policy goes away. If you are running a version of Windows that requires a sideload product key, so Windows 8 Enterprise in a workgroup, Windows 8 Pro, or Windows RT, you need to get the sideload product key. Assuming you have software assurance, you can just go out to the Volume Licensing Service Center, log in with whatever Microsoft account has been configured with admin rights to get the product keys, search for Enterprise Sideloading, click the link, and it'll give you the product key. Now, by default, that sideload product key will have a limited number of activations, but just like a Mac key, when you run out, you pick up the phone, you call Microsoft and ask for more. They'll increase that limit without any questions. Other people have noticed that, well, the Mail app requires a Microsoft account before I can add an Exchange account. Is there a way around that? Because I want to turn off Microsoft accounts. I want to turn off the Windows Store. I just want to use my internal Enterprise App Store. How do I do that and still be able to use the Mail app? Well, in Windows 8, that's not possible. In Windows 8.1, the Mail app is being enhanced to allow that so that you can add an Exchange account without adding a Microsoft account first. Can I programmatically install an app? So could I write a PowerShell script that installs an app from the Windows Store? No, there's no mechanism to do that either. Because of the licensing restrictions, the user needs to click the install button, which accepts the license terms that go along with that application. Another challenge that people have found with Windows 8 is authenticating proxy servers. Well, really any proxy servers can cause issues with Windows 8. And those issues are addressed in Windows 8.1. We've published a couple of KB articles that describe workarounds for Windows 8 to get the Windows Store apps and the Windows Store itself to work through proxy servers. And that is it. Hopefully that's a decent overview of what it would take to deploy Windows 8 apps, kind of what's happening behind the scenes and some of the terminology that's involved. We have a variety of additional resources out on the Windows.com Enterprise site and on Springboard and various other locations out there, so check those out. I would encourage you to fill out your evaluations for this session, and when the 8.1 preview comes out later today, tonight, that you try that out. Thanks for coming, and if you've got any other questions, come see me up front since we're out of time in the session, but thanks.